What about in the prevention setting? I heard sort of rumors that you all were thinking about looking at an aromatase inhibitor versus raloxifene. Is that going to happen?
We think it will happen. It'll be NSABP protocol P4. As you know, the results from P2 that randomized close to 20,000 patients in a five-year period were disclosed in April. And we think that the next logical step, having demonstrated that, you know, raloxifene is as effective as tamoxifen in preventing invasive cancer, is to compare it to an aromatase inhibitor, namely letrozole.
It's been kind of interesting to see sort of the lack of use of tamoxifen in the prevention setting for, you know, a variety of reasons. If it turns out that an AI, even if it's the same from an efficacy point of view as a preventative, how do you think it would be accepted clinically in terms of using it for prevention?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. If it's as good as raloxifene, I don't think that, you know, that's going to carry the day. The assumption, and I think it's not simply a theoretical assumption because, you know, the sample size is determined on the premise that the aromatase inhibitor will be significantly superior to the SERM. And that is the great hope, that an aromatase inhibitor will supplant a SERM in the preventive setting.
It seems that the thing that sort of prevented people from using tamoxifen wasn't the lack of efficacy, but concerns about side effects and toxicity. How do you think aromatase inhibitors will play out in the, quote, healthy woman, particularly bone?
Well, I think it's a concern. And, you know, how it will play out is conjecture. If it is superior, and if the endpoints of the trial are met, I think it will become a standard. I think, you know, it doesn't have some of the adverse effects that have really limited the use of tamoxifen in that preventive setting. You know, it's not associated with a risk to the endometrium, neither is raloxifene for that matter, but it's not associated with an increased risk of thromboembolic phenomena. The more subtle issues as to quality of life, the generalized, you know, myalgia and so on and so forth, to what extent we're going to see that, how that's going to play into the equation from a bone standpoint is what P4 is going to attempt to answer.
It's interesting your comment about raloxifene and the lack of increase of endometrial cancer, but I don't know that we've had a comparison of raloxifene to placebo. So if a woman says, by taking raloxifene, is that going to increase my risk of endometrial cancer, how would you answer?
Well, I would say it does not. I'm perturbed that people will look at the data from NSABP protocol P2 and say that the uterine cancer decrease that was noted in raloxifene was not statistically significant in P2, which it was not. I mean, there was a 38% reduction. But on the other hand, I think when one looks at the adverse events, one has to look at the adverse events in a broader perspective. We have some compelling data that does examine raloxifene compared to a placebo. We have the CORE trial and the MORE trial, but more recently, we have the data that were reported in the RUTH trial. And, you know, these are many thousands of patients that have been entered into a direct head-on comparison between raloxifene and placebo. And in no instance has there been an endometrial signal. So I think taken in its totality, I'm confident in saying, based on the information that I've reviewed, that raloxifene is not associated with an increased risk of endometrial cancer.